Before we get into this week's podcast, I've got some exciting news to share with you. We recently shared how you can get your hands on the Comrades Marathon Pacing Bands. You could order yours up front, pre-order, and then pick them up printed at the Coach Parry stand at the Comrades Marathon Expo in Durban. Since we let you know that, we have got hundreds of emails asking us exactly how to predict what your Comrades Marathon finish time might be. The good news is we've created a calculator that'll tell you exactly how to do that, okay? All you need to do is head over to coachparry.com/time. The link is also in the description of this podcast. You can click on that. It'll take you straight through to the page. Plug in your best marathon time over the last 12 months, and it'll tell you exactly what your predicted Comrades Marathon finish time is for the app run this year, but also for the slightly shortened route as well. So we've done all the calculations for you. All you need to do is plug your marathon time in, and it'll tell you exactly what you can expect to run at the Comrades Marathon. All you need to do, head over to coachparry.com/time, and you can also pre-order your pace band for that exact finish time on that same page. So coachparry.com/time.
So do not ruin months of training in the final run into Comrades because you are so scared of where you're.
Welcome on to the next edition of Up. It is so good to have you with us, and we are definitely into crunch time when it comes to Comrades, just around the corner, not long to go now. My name is Brad Nadelt. We've got the official Comrades Marathon coach, Lindsay Parry, with us. Lindsay, nice to see you once again.
Yeah, and as you say, we're in the thick of it. People are doing long runs left, right, and center. Last week was the novices. This week is going to be the bulk of the field. So yeah, it doesn't get meatier than right now.
Yeah, and there's quite a lot, sort of like the stakes are quite high this week. There's still a few marathons and there's an ultra coming up on the weekend, and the window for qualifying is closing next week as well, next week Monday. So basically a week from today with us publishing this video and podcast. And a lot of people, I say a lot of people, there are some people who haven't qualified yet who are using a race this week to qualify. But I know just from previous years, there's also a lot of people who are fitter than they've ever been in their lives, and they're planning on using a marathon or an ultra marathon this week to better their seeding, which we're going to touch on in today's podcast as well. And then I just want to give a heads up too that if you haven't submitted your qualifying info and club info and all of that to Comrades, the deadline for that is coming up next week too. So this is your last week to get that information in. The last thing you want to do is end up at the expo. And I know this happens because we've had someone that we've worked with fairly closely who came all the way from Italy to come and run Comrades and hadn't submitted his qualifying details, and Comrades just go, sorry, we can't help you. You missed the deadline. So make sure that you get your qualifying details, club details, all the sort of Comrades admin stuff you need in order to run, get that sorted this week. Lindsay, let's talk a little bit about the long runs before we get into the seeding and those folks who haven't qualified yet. Last week, we spoke about the novices doing a long run this week. There are a few people who still have their Comrades long run to do over the next week or so.
Yeah, and I think just a summary, really, download last week's podcast to really get the meat and potatoes out of this. But really, 5 weeks to go, this is where the more experienced athletes, those with 3, 4, 5 Comrades under their belt, but not the racing snakes, not the 7.5 hour and faster groups, this is where you want to do your long run. You want it to be 50Ks preferably. I know some of you will go out and do 55Ks, but I'd really strongly encourage you to do 50Ks. And then just remember why you're doing it. You're doing it as your final dress rehearsal, Comrades race pace, Comrades kit, Comrades nutrition. It's all about Comrades. It's not about how fit and strong and how fast you are. And yeah, just have a listen to last week's podcast so that you can really understand why you're doing it 5 weeks out. And very importantly, just exactly what is really important and what to focus on for the long run. And then we've also just had a whole bunch of people that have done their Comrades long run. So that means they pretty much did it either Saturday or yesterday. And for those, it's very important that you just take 2-3 days and allow your body to absorb that training. Remember what we said last week, it's you want to run easy enough that you feel like you could run the next day, but that doesn't mean you should run the next day. Your novices, probably the furthest you've ever run. So really just take the time to let your body absorb that training and recover from it, and then crack on with your training. It is, and I think this is something we didn't say last week, Brad, which we probably should have, is that it's too early to start tapering. I mean, we aren't going to start tapering yet. We're still going to be training fairly hard, but this is probably going to have been your peak week of training. And for the bulk of the field, this week is going to be their peak week of training, but then we're not going to go straight into tapering.
Lindsay, let's just touch on the peeps who ran, as you said, probably their longest run ever in the build-up to Comrades, if they've never run a Comrades before. And I can remember the first time I ran an ultra marathon. I was like, and it was 50. I was like, how am I going to go and do the extra bit I need to do to run Comrades? So running 50Ks is hard. There's no two ways about it. How do you mentally go, man, like I've done just over half of what Comrades is. How am I going to do the rest of it?
Yeah, importantly there, what I'm hoping the final little piece that people would have gotten out of that long run, besides the running at Comrades pace, the nutrition, making sure you're in the right kit, is that you'll realize that 50K is a long way, but that those last sort of 3, 4, 5Ks, even though you were tired, you were actually able to just keep doing what you're doing, and that's what Comrades is about. From about 50Ks, you are going to be tired, possibly a little bit sore and uncomfortable, but you're just going to carry on grinding out that K after K. 50 will turn into 60, and 60 will turn into 70, and you'll be like, I'm going to do this. And that's really what Comrades is about. It's literally why we do Comrades. It's like you get to that 50, 55, 60, and you really are like, wow, I am tired, I am sore. But you persevere, you keep putting one foot in front of the other, and you suddenly make it. And the brain also has another little trick that it has, and that's always that it recalibrates on your behalf. And so when you know what the distance is, so when you started the 50K yesterday or Saturday, your brain knew exactly how far you're going. So when you get to the 45, 46, you know you're almost at the finish, and you actually are starting to shut down. Your brain's like, okay, we've just about done it. Like, and things start to cool, and you start to go, wow, you know, I just want to be finished, I want to go home. And the same thing will happen. Your brain will literally recalibrate to 86Ks. And so you'll get into that similar frame of mind around 75 plus Ks, where your brain will start to go, okay, we are there, but we are not there. And it's like, okay, we're nearly there. And you start to struggle, and mentally you just got to dig it and do it. And that's kind of how the brain just operates. It's like it'll always get you like 2/3, 3/4 of the way there. And then it'll be like, okay, well, we've done what we need to do. Over to you. And you've just then got to like go, right, I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep trucking. I'm going to finish.
Yeah, Lindsay, and I think you can't discount the crowd support on Comrades Race Day either. That's definitely worth 20, 30Ks. I reckon, I always joke, I reckon that if you had to go in, and you probably see it on the downrun, because there's a nightclub on the street that Comrades starts. I don't know if it's still called Crowded House, but it used to be called Crowded House when I was at Varsity. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, when you're lining up on the downrun on the downrun at the start, there's always one or two students that are falling out of that nightclub at that time of the morning. And I reckon some of them might get swept up and carried away and start running. And even if they're unfit, I reckon the crowd support and the vibe at Comrades is easily worth 20, 30Ks, because they'll probably wake up 20, 30Ks in sober and go, oh, what happened? But they've run 20, 30Ks. So if you've done 50Ks, you've done enough. You don't need to do more. Crowd support's going to drag you 20 or 30, and then you're going to have some serious negotiations for the final little bit, and then you sort it. Then Comrades is done. It's simple, just like that.
Yeah, look, and the crowd is unbelievable. And people that you know also make an enormous effort, because really people can see how hard you work towards this goal. Most people have grown up watching it, and so when they know somebody, it almost gives them an excuse to also go and get involved there on the side of the road. So it's strangers and an unbelievable atmosphere. and friends and family of other people that are running, but it's also people that are special to you. And in return, you are special to them. And the effort that they make to get to certain points of the route, and you'll get to camper down just before you get to Umlaas Road, and you'll be like, yes, it's, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And then you'll see somebody and you'll be all emotional and happy, and it just gives you like a surge to keep you on the road and keep you buzzing for another 3-4 kilometers before you start to struggle mentally. So you're absolutely right. It's like, it's just so many crowd dynamics. It's wonderful race.
Yeah, if I can just add something, and this is advice for race day, like if you are running comrades and you maybe don't have tons of support along the side of the road, there are going to be thousands upon thousands of people supporting other people, and they'll be cheering you on as well. So even if you don't know the person, high five them, like feed off the energy, because that's going to help you a lot on race day as well, which does make a huge, huge difference. Lindsay, let's talk about, we've obviously spoken about the novices and maybe things didn't go that well. Let's talk a little bit about the races coming up this week. I mentioned that there are a few. I know up in Pretoria is Wally Hayward on Wednesday, public holiday in South Africa. There are a couple of others happening as well. And a lot of people use this, before we get into the folks who haven't qualified yet, a lot of people see this as an opportunity because they've never been this fit in their lives. They've done months of comrades training, and they're going, you know what, this is an opportunity for me to leapfrog one seeding batch and maybe start a little bit closer to the start line. What would you say to people who are thinking about improving their seeding now, this time in comrades training?
I mean, am I allowed to take them outside and shake some sense into them? I understand where they are. I understand that for tons of people, 25% of people only run one comrade. So for like 25% of the field, this is probably the fittest you're ever going to be in your life. And there's a lot of fear-mongering around the H batch and how much time you lose to get over the start line. And that makes people really nervous. And so the temptation is really, really big to get as high a seating as you can. So we've got Wally Hayward on the 1st of May, Buffalo Marathon in East London on the 1st of May. Wally being one of the flatter races in and around Gauteng, and Buff's been a downhill net, downhill course. And then we've got Prince Magus City Buthelezi 52-kilometer race on the 5th of May, which is literally the day before you have to submit all your qualifying times, which is a 52 and has the same time then for seeding as a 52 to a 54. So it's, the temptation is there. Okay. So for a start, the Prince Magasutu Buthelezi is hard. Okay. It's a tough, tough route profile. I went and had a look at it today in preparation for this recording. It really is a tough, tough route. So you're going to be flogging yourself on a hard course to maybe go up one seeding pen, okay, because that's the best you can hope for, which means you're going to save yourself on race day between 1.5 and 2 minutes. Now that sounds like a lot when you're in H batch, but it's not a lot when that same race causes you to now get an injury that you can't recover from, that threatens your ability to potentially finish comrades, but certainly is going to cost you more than 1.5 to 2 minutes on race day. So it's just such low return on improving your seeding. Buffs is a downhill marathon. Sure, the same principle applies. You might have a real shot at moving up one seeding pen, but the cost of the eccentric load is very high. You risk injuring yourself in the race, never mind when you're trying to train afterwards, because remember, I've already said it, the taper isn't starting yet. The taper is still weeks away. We want to be training and preparing for comrades. If you train well, you'll get much more than 2 minutes. And, you know, I'm going to unashamedly pump our last podcast, because that's where Brad and I are going to share with you the secret to saving yourself 20 minutes on race day. Not 2 minutes, 20 minutes. So do not ruin months of training in the final run into Comrades because you are so scared of where your seating is and are trying to improve it.
Yeah, Lindsay, and I wanted to jump in there because you talk about the risk of injury. We've said it so many times on this podcast, on the Comrades webinars. I'm going to share it again because it is that important. What is the stat?
68% of runners who do not finish Comrades started with an injury. Simple.
Yeah, so make sure that you are 100% injury-free when it comes to Comrades, and chasing a seeding this late in the game is just, it's like playing Russian roulette, and you might get through it and you might save yourself 2 minutes, but having or risking everything you've done up until this point to try and get 2 minutes on race day is just, it's just not worth it. And I also want to add, Lindsay, that the seeding batches on the uprun and the time you end up, and I don't want to say losing, because I mean it is what it is, but on the uprun it is a lot less than what you would potentially lose on the downrun for two reasons. Obviously the start is a lot wider, but you also feed out onto the highway straight away, so it's not as cramped, you don't get onto a narrow road, so you really are, I mean, you just chasing for nothing, because you really aren't going to lose that much time on race day on the uprun.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't have said it better, but yeah, you've got nice wide streets. They flow much better. You don't lose nearly as much time. And anyway, you make up so little time for so much effort that even if you don't get injured, it's just not worth the effort at all.
Lindsay, let's talk about that group of people who haven't qualified yet. There are a number of people who haven't, because we get the questions. How do they approach this week? And the reason I ask that is because for a lot of them, it's not a case of that they just haven't had a qualifying marathon. A lot of them are marginal. So they've struggled to qualify. They've struggled to run that 450 marathon or get the ultra in under the qualifying time. And for those people, it's almost like they're chasing seeding. They've got to run this week really hard in order to get that qualifier done. How do they approach a week like this week? Just a quick break from the podcast for a second to let you know and remind you that you need to pick up your Comrades Marathon Pace Band for Comrades 2024 right now. CoachParry.com/pace. You can also click on the link in the description to this podcast right now. Don't leave anything to chance. Make sure you plan the perfect race come race day. Head over to CoachParry.com/pace right now to get your custom Coach Parry pacing band for race day to make sure you run the race that is best suited for where you are and your training right now. That's coachparry.com/pace. You can click on the link in the description right now. And don't forget, you don't want to pick up just one. Don't just take your plan A. Make sure you've got a plan B and plan C as well. That's coachparry.com/pace.
Running the Comrades Marathon doesn't have to be scary and intimidating. Just thinking about running 90 kilometers or 56 miles should give you butterflies in your stomach. Add to that the hills you have to run up and down and having to do it in under 12 hours. The thought of it is enough to freak the most seasoned runner out. Never mind a newbie to ultra running or a Comrades Marathon novice. As much as Comrades is a physical challenge, it's just as much a mental challenge. The constant mental gymnastics of second guessing yourself takes its toll. Am I training enough? How long should my long runs be? How many marathons should I run? What does this pain in my knee mean? My ankle is sore, should I rest or run? And then the two big ones. Am I fast enough and will I finish? The questions never stop. The constant worrying is exhausting. And that's exactly why we've created the Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap. It's a proven step-by-step training plan to get you from where you are today to having a Comrades medal around your neck without the stress and worry. Knowing that you've done what it takes to finish the ultimate human race, feeling strong and in control. Ensuring that you arrive at the start line fit and most importantly, injury-free, because more than 64% of those who didn't finish the race last year started with an injury. The Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap guides you through every step of your Comrades journey. Training, qualifying, tapering, and race day. We've got you covered every step of the way. Simply head over to coachparry.com/up to get access to it now, or simply click on the link in the description. That's coachparry.com/up. Now back to the podcast.
Yeah, and look, it's such a good question, because Comrades really is, it's an important event for all ultra marathoners really in the world, but in South Africa in particular, just because of its history and how we grew up doing it. So there's such a strong emotional attachment to it. It's very important for people that they do at least one or two. Now, not everyone's going to go on to get a green number. And one of my personal clients missed qualifying by 6 seconds on Sunday. You know, so these things happen. And now, still desperate to do comrades. You know, you assess how you're feeling, and then you go, okay, well, what are the options and what are we going to do? So I think you hit the nail on the head. They are not going to pitch up for a jog. So if you haven't qualified just because of circumstance, yes, you're going to go, you're going to jog, count yourself super privileged, get it done with as little effort as possible. If you are desperate to qualify, you haven't qualified yet, you've got to do what you've got to do. You've got to push yourself as hard as you've got to push yourself. Then afterwards, you have to let your body recover. Your best chance of finishing comrades and not getting injured is if you just then do everything in your power, a couple of days of rest. Look, I'd probably do some ice baths. I know that doesn't work for everybody, but in this instance, it's kind of like what I've been telling a few people the last few weeks on calls, is that if you get injured now, behave like your house is on fire. You phone who you need to phone, and you get in who you need to get in, but you get the emergency and service involved. And I'd say that would be my advice now, is that you have an ice bath after 48 hours when the pain starts to subside. You get yourself a massage, eat really well, sleep really well, but treat yourself for at least the next week like you're an elite athlete, just getting as much recovery in as you can. And then after that, it'll just be about being consistent and training nice and consistent, moderate to low intensity. Moderate distance, low intensity training, so that we really de-escalate the risk. We strip out as much risk as we can from getting you injured, and making sure that you line up at comrades fresh and give yourself the best possible chance of turning that very late qualifier into a finisher's medal.
Yeah, and Lindsay, I hate to actually bring this up, but I have to, because sadly people do it. So there are going to be people who are going to help club runners. I mean, you see it every year at Wally. I used to love watching it, where somebody was on the margin and they'd get the entire club out there to try and drag this person to sub 450, and they would encourage them and help them. But the flip side of that coin is there are going to be people who are going to be running in someone else's number this week as well. And it's just not worth it. Like, if you can't qualify for comrades, those qualifying times are there for a reason. There's a pretty good chance if you can't run a marathon in under 450, you're not going to finish comrades. It's for your health and the safety on the roads and that sort of thing that they have these qualifying criteria in place. Your thoughts on people trying to cheat their way to qualifying and submitting times that they didn't actually run to comrades for a better seeding, for example?
Yeah, look, it's not worth it. And look, people know. For Two Oceans, I got sent a message about someone who had entered. Ironically, they did enter at the right time. So yeah, look, I think there's two issues, and maybe I should try not to conflate them now on the call, but there's this issue of, we don't, cheating is not right. So, you know, don't do it. And as Brad said, the real reason for these qualifiers is both for safety, but also so that we can have races like these, because in South Africa, we do need to have the roads opened and back to normal. And the authorities have a few limitations around that. You know, I know, for example, at London Marathon 2 weeks ago, or whatever, not long ago, they had more time to finish a marathon than we had for people to finish Two Oceans. And so that is something that some international athletes find difficult, but it's also one of the things that makes Comrade's unique in that it does have this robust cutoff that makes for an exciting finish for spectators and television, and that's important for sponsors. So yeah, we've got these qualifiers. It does create some tension on race day. It creates some tension, and you do have keyboard warriors in South Africa that take great pleasure in outing people who cheat or who make mistakes. And I don't love it. In fact, I hate it. And this particular incident that I got involved in actually turned out they just submitted the time that was run and it got through two rounds of checks. So they didn't cheat, they didn't lie. But you know, you do get this thing is that there are a lot of people and if they had, I wouldn't have agreed with it and I would have been glad to be involved. But fortunately, I knew an in common person and I could ask the question, say, listen, this has been brought up. What is the story? Otherwise, I need to get in touch with the race organizers. And there was a good explanation on this particular incident. But really, my point is that it's not worth your risk, both from your own preparedness to do Comrades and that there will be another Comrades in 2025 and 26 and 27. So you will have other opportunities. That's the first thing. Second thing is that they're there to take pressure off the race and the other runners that are on the road. And the third thing is that you do have a lot of people out there that want to out people in public. And so it's really not worth submitting false qualifying times or getting other people to run for you or getting in a car or any of these things.
And also assisting someone. And it's like if somebody had to come to you and say, listen, I can't qualify, will you run in my number? Just say no. Like it's just don't do it. Don't
yeah, you're compromising your both of those people are compromising themselves. And you know, in this year Comrades have banned both the person who submitted the qualifying time and the person who ran the time, have disqualified them from the race and banned them from next year's race. So it's not worth it.
The cheater and the cheatee, that's what they're called from now on. That's exactly it. Linz, let's just touch quickly on if things don't go. I mean, you spoke, and I think last week you spoke about lists and making sure that you have your list of everything that you need. If things are going great and swimmingly, then it's wonderful. But sometimes things don't go according to plan from a gear perspective. Maybe you chafe in places you didn't think you were going to chafe. Like how do you fix that now, because you don't have another opportunity to go long again before Comrades?
So some of the things are easy fixes. I mean, if you've chafed in a new place, that's cool because you can notice and you've used Vaseline before, hopefully, but just not in that particular place. So some of the things will be easy fixes, and that's why your list is important. You may have done something simple like forgotten to cut your toenails and then your toenails are really like black and blue. Well, again, now you know you must make sure that you cut those toenails short. And then in other instances, it'll be something like you've miscalculated the amount of mileage you've done on shoes, or a sock is actually more worn than you thought. And again, then you can go similar brand and there's still enough time to run those sort of things in and get them sorted. But nutrition might be a prime example of what you're talking about, and that's like, okay, what I did really didn't work, and with a change in intensity, it actually made me feel sick. So you know, then you got to talk to a professional and try and figure out what you can try between now and race day. And you might not refine it and get it perfect, but there's still enough longer runs that you can implement a few of those changes and try and figure out how you can turn something that's really clearly not working into something that at least works better or hopefully works well come race day.
All right, absolutely. And then, Linz, there's just some housekeeping. I know you mentioned early on in this podcast that you and I are going to be doing How to Save Yourself 20 Minutes. That is a crucial one that you don't want to miss. That's coming up. But we also did speak a little bit about spectators, and we are going to be doing a spectator-specific podcast and video as well, just to help your friends and family out on race day, and the best way to get around and best places to be. So that's coming up too. Don't forget to make sure you subscribe to this channel and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss those, and share that with your friends and family. And then just finally, we do have a novice comrades webinar coming up as well, specifically for everyone who's running their first comrades. And it's not just first comrades overall, but also if you're doing your first uprun, you're still a novice. So make sure you join us for that one. And it's been a long time since we've done an uprun, so I think everyone's sort of feeling like novices when it comes to the uprun as well. So that is going to be a goodie to be part of. The link to that is in the description of this video and podcast as well. So make sure you save your seat for that. We look forward to having you on that webinar as well. Lindsay, and then just parting shot from you before we wrap things up today.
Yeah, parting shot really is also a housekeeping, babe. You opened the podcast talking about it, but I want to close the podcast, talk about it. Do not get caught without submitting your seating time. If you've changed clubs, make sure that the correct details, new license number, everything you need to do around making sure that your entry is secured, get that done. Don't leave that until next week, Monday. Just do it now, because your club's going to need to verify all your stuff. And so if you haven't updated your information, it's going to go to the wrong club. They're not going to be able to verify. So yeah, I just want to round out, don't let admin be the reason that you don't run. And I'm hammering this because this is exactly the sort of thing that I would do. So I'm trying to make sure that you don't.
Yeah, and it's not just if you change clubs. You can enter comrades without being a member of a club. So if you entered and you weren't part of a club and didn't have an athletic license, but you have subsequently, make sure you do that. Because as Lindsay said, the clubs need to verify your entry and your qualifier. And if you haven't got, I mean, they're not going to let you run, first of all, if you haven't entered your club details, but it's got to go to the right place. So, Lindsay, as always, great to catch up. We look forward to catching up again next week. Cheers. Thank you for listening to this episode of Up. Don't forget to pick up your custom Comrades Marathon 2024 pace band right now. We'll print them out and make sure we've got them waiting for you at the expo in Durban in the build-up to Comrades. So head over to coachparry.com/pace or click on the link in the description right now.